Good morning.
Morning.
This morning's scripture is from Exodus 2, verses 1 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. Now a man of the house of Levi married a daughter of Levi, and she conceived and gave birth to a son. When she saw that he was a beautiful child, she hid him for 3 months. When she could no longer hide him, she got a papyrus basket and coated it with tar and pitch. Then she placed the child in the basket and set it among the reeds along the bank of the Nile. And his sister stood at a distance to see what would happen to him. Soon the daughter of Pharaoh went down to bathe in the Nile, and her attendants were walking along the riverbank. When she saw the basket among the reeds, she sent her maidservant to retrieve it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the little boy was crying. So she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call one of the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" "Go ahead," Pharaoh's daughter told her. And the girl went and called the boy's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse him for me, and I will pay your wages." So the woman took the boy and nursed him. When the child had grown older, and she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son, she named him Moses and explained, "I drew him out of water." The word of God for the people of God.
For some reason, I feel like I probably should preach or talk on mothers today. I don't know what that is. There's something going on. Okay, well, I'll figure it out later. Seriously, happy Mother's Day. Today, we're going to look at a woman in the Bible. Her name is Jochebed. Call her a woman of faith because surely she was. She was one that stood up and just did some amazing things, took an amazing chance, putting her own life in danger, and we'll get into that. But the truth is that mothers have an influence on their children, positive or negative. Usually it's a combination of both. We got some things about our parents that we're like, we're so glad they were our parents. And there are sometimes there's, yeah, but I've got this little thing that is in my life that I picked up from mom. I'm trying to think. Oh, yes, I'll pick on my mom. She's here today. You know, my love of food. I've got to blame my mom for that. I've got to blame somebody other than the guy who's standing here because I don't like that, especially since I got on the scales this morning. Abraham Lincoln declared, "No man is poor who has a godly mother." As we look at Jochebed, she was a woman of faith. She was a godly mother. Jochebed, the name means glory of Jehovah, or Jehovah's glory. Aaron Carr pointed out Jochebed was an Israelite, one of God's chosen people. She was a member of the house of Levi, from which would come the priest, of those that were later to carry out the tabernacle and temple duties. What we see in her is a mother who's godly, and her influence went on for throughout the life, we believe, of Moses. We know that mothers make an important influence in our lives, especially a godly mother. So what does a godly mother, or actually a godly father, look like? It's one who prays for their children. James chapter 5, verse 16 talks about we should be praying faithfully. One who studies in the Word of God and teaches their children. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 19 says, "Teach your children. Talk to them while you're sitting at home, walking on the road, while you lie down, and when you're getting up." In other words, reminding mothers and fathers, I might add, that being a godly parent means you teach them the Word of God yourself, not just take them to church and expect the pastor or their Sunday school teacher to get it all right down to them. You are the example. You are the person who shows them by a godly life. One who has compassion and who stands firm in the faith. I'd also say that a godly mother or godly parent reminds children that they, as Christians, they are something special. Remind them that what it says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 19, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, His own special people, that you may claim the praise of Him who called you out of darkness into marvelous light. But there's something going on. We're God's people, and we need to share that. How you may know that even as God's people, we face dilemmas. We face issues in our lives. And Jochebed, thankfully, we all have challenges too, but hopefully we never face anything like she faced. The dilemma she had was that Pharaoh said that all the newborn boys need to be thrown into the Nile. They needed to be killed. By disobeying this, she was rebelling against Pharaoh. And in those ages, that's not something you did. They did not take this lightly, especially if you were a slave, and they considered the Israelites slaves. So the lowest of the lows is going to rebel against Pharaoh. This could end in a death sentence. It's like, am I going to give my life for this child? Most mothers will say absolutely. And Jochebed was no different. She hid the child. She could have whined and complained about the difficulties of her life, but we see nothing like that. In spite of what was going on, the hatred for the Hebrews surrounding them, in spite of the disobedience meaning her death, she chose to protect this child. It says that she saw that it was a goodly child. By the way, just a side note here, I've hardly ever heard a woman say their child wasn't a goodly child. I have never heard a woman yet take a child and say, oh, this is the ugliest thing since E.T. It doesn't happen. I don't care if they really are as ugly. Anyway. Every mother who sees that child sees a goodly child. I don't think that when Moses came out, he was like, he looked like, hey, I'm going to be the greatest prophet, until Elijah and Jesus and John the Baptist. She didn't look at him and say, oh, wow, you can just see that he's going to be a great leader. No, he looked like a baby. And I've never seen a baby who looked presidential. And you got a cute baby there, but I'm not seeing presidential in that. Maybe, we don't. We don't know. But can you hear? Would you say that's a goodly child?
Of course.
She's the best. Okay. I won't argue with you. Because I still remember. Because I remember when our child was born, and it was like, she's the cutest thing. They were both cute. But anyway, that's all. Oh, I should go on because I'm going to stick my foot in my mouth. I keep going down this path further than I've already got it. She didn't complain, but she had this dilemma. And so there's going to come times in our lives where we face dilemmas that are going to be difficult. Jesus reminded us in John chapter 15, verse 18 through 19, if the world hates you, you know that they hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of the world, I have chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hates you. Comes a time when godly people must choose to resist and counter the evil of the world. And there we see in this, we see her courage. We see the fact that though the world hated her, it was going to hate her child, she stood up against it. She hid the child for 3 months, for as long as she could. I have to imagine things were getting difficult. What's the next thing we need to do? What's the next path? And in this we see that she had a great amount of courage. She refused to save her own life, to watch out for herself. She took the chance, she hid the child. By doing that, she gave Israel the greatest blessing it could imagine up until that time, the deliverer that would come. Story speaks of Isaac's birth that took place in England on a cold Christmas day. He was born sick, born premature, and everyone around him thought he was going to die. His father had died 2 months earlier, and his mother was having a hard time running the farm and looking after a new baby. And a war was raging around them. Some people would think it would be easier for Isaac's mother if she had aborted Isaac, though the mother wouldn't consider it just as well. Isaac grew up to be a scientific genius. Isaac, the one who discovered the law of gravitation, he revolutionized mathematics by developing calculus, improved the telescope, became famous for his work on physics, mathematics, and astronomy. Isaac was the first person to receive a knighthood for a scientific achievement. When he died in 1727 at the age of 84, the government honored him by burying him in London's famous Westminster Abbey. And yeah, you've probably already figured out we're talking about Sir Isaac Newton. The world would have never known this greatest scientist if he had not been allowed to live. And a mother took her chance to save that child as Jochebed, not worrying about the situation around her, chose to sacrifice her own comfort, her own security, and hid him. Scripture says we walk by faith and not by sight. By sight, it looks like that Jochebed should have just done what the law said, and she could have protected herself, at least protected herself as much as she could. She had an older son. She had a daughter. What was this third child? It's something that could get her killed. And what would her family do? What would Aaron do?
Wouldn't I know it? I don't have it written down, and I forget Moses' sister's name. Miriam, thank you.
Miriam knew if Jochebed had been killed, I got these other kids to worry about. But she took the chance. She took the sacrifice, and let me tell you, it was a sacrifice. It would have been scary to take the chance. But not only did she sacrifice by taking a chance and being courageous, she took the sacrifice because she was willing to let him go. She had faith that said God could watch out for this child. And she took a reed and put it into a basket, made an ark, and she obeyed, get this, she obeyed the laws of the land. She put her son in the Nile, but not the way the law wanted it done. She put this child, protected it, put it in the Nile. And I know some stories have it, the fact that the river currents caught it and sent it downstream, and Miriam chased after it to see where it would end up, and it just happened to end up in front of Pharaoh's daughter. This is St. Charles. Okay, get this. If you disagree with it, that's fine. I don't think Jochebed did that. I think Jochebed felt inspired knowing that Pharaoh's daughter didn't have a child of her own. She put that child where it would be found, trusting a mother's heart and trusting God that when that child was found, that child would be protected by the only person in human capabilities that was able to defy Pharaoh. She had faith that God would watch over this child. And let me tell you something, sometimes that's hard. And as a mother, it gets hard sometimes, especially when they get older, and you've got to start letting go. And you have to have faith that God's going to watch out for them. It's hard to put your child, as it were, in the reeds. To step back and let somebody else watch out for them. And she did. She let her daughter watch out for her. And this is the first example of babysitting in the Bible. Big sister watched out for little brother. It ended up okay too, by the way, if you know the story. Pharaoh's daughter came along. She found the child. And as most women would say, when they find a little baby, they pick it up, it's crying, and they look at it and say, "Oh, that's the ugliest thing." No, we talked about that already, right? What are they going to say? "Oh." You know, it's kind of like not too long ago when we had a little baby held up. I knew what was coming. I bet y'all did too. They hang the baby up, and all of a sudden, throughout the crowd went, "Oh." Pharaoh's daughter heard the baby, had brought it out. She looked at him and she went, "Oh, isn't that the cutest thing?" Yeah, it's a Hebrew baby, but it's so cute. We need to take care of this. Oh, come on. And Miriam came along and says, "Do you want me to find a Hebrew woman to help take care of it?" There was no promise anything was going to happen. Jochebed had to trust that God was going to help. There was that possibility that Pharaoh's daughter would have said, "Oh, that's a Hebrew child. Throw it back. Because I ain't about to get dead ticked off." There's the possibility she could have said, "No. It's cute, but I can't take care of it." And she could have put it back, maybe not thrown it in the Nile, but put it back in the ark and shoved it off to let go who knows where. But Jochebed had faith that God would protect this child. And let me tell you something. You have to have faith when the time comes to let go of your children that God's going to watch out for them. And it's hard. Because sometimes you see them get picked up by somebody who you really want them around. Yes, Pharaoh's daughter was the one person who could protect and could stand up against Pharaoh, but also Pharaoh's daughter was she was a heathen. What she believed in her practices about God and about society was nothing that a parent would be proud of. It was not anything like, "Oh, this is a good school. This is a good place." No, it's kind of like, I'm trying to think of a really bad example. You know, it's like, "We're going to find a really good place to put your child in Las Vegas. And don't worry, that house of, experienced women will probably take care of her or him." You're like, "Okay." Now, how many of you are thinking, "Okay, I want to set up my child to that"? Thank goodness. But in one sense, that was where Moses was going to end up. The house of Pharaoh wasn't known for its love of people. It was known for its ability to take care of itself, for being selfish, for lording it over other people. And yet, Jochebed had faith that God would take care. And she got a reward. I love this story because she lets go of her child. And yet as she lets go, as Pharaoh's daughter picks her up, she says, we need to find someone to nurse this child. They didn't have baby food back then. You had to find someone to nurse it. Miriam comes along and says, would you like me to find someone to do it for you? So Pharaoh's daughter looks over and says, oh, this Hebrew girl's here. Yeah, go find someone for me. You knew who Miriam was going to get. She went and got mom. So she got Moses' mother, brought her, and Pharaoh's daughter, get this, paid Jochebed to take care of her own child, contrary to the law of Pharaoh. Hey, I'm going to pay you to disobey the law and protect your own child. And she kept this child until it was weaned, which meant it was probably be about 4 to 5 years old in that time period. They kept them fed a long time at that light. How much influence can you put on your child until they're about 4 or 5 years old? Quite a bit. In fact, that's the formative years of their lives. So in the formative years of their life, Jochebed had the reward of being able to take care of her child. And we see God working this out and taking care of things. It's a great thing. So the question we have to ask ourselves is, are you trusting God today with your children? Are you allowing God to work in your life and the life of your children? And are you using your influence by that godly life to help your children? Now, I could end there on the fact that Jochebed got this reward, but I'd be remiss because Jochebed then had to bring the child at 5 years old back and put it in public school. I mean, put it under the care of Pharaoh. Pharaoh's daughter and Pharaoh's household, Pharaoh's system of doing things. And from that until the time about 40 years old, he lived as an Egyptian. Jochebed probably died seeing her son live like the heathens. Ouch. That's hard. But I think I'd be remiss to just end on, hey, everything ended up well. We don't know if Jochebed actually saw Moses take that choice to stand up for his people. And if she did live to the time where he was 40 years old and he stood up for his people, what did he do? He killed a guy and then ran away. I don't think we're getting better here. Your kid stood up for what was right, killed a guy, but then had to run for his life, and now he's hiding somewhere in the middle of nowhere. Ouch. We don't know how things were in Jochebed's life in relation to her son when she got older. But the odds are, they weren't close. He wasn't around. And she did not know how he would end up. But you know what? We know the rest of the story, don't we? And I think this goes back to Jochebed's faith. She was trusting God. She did all that she could. She trusted God. She let go when she needed to let go. And she lived the life she could live in front of that child while she could. But she understood that ultimately the choices he made and what God would do would be out of her control. Because if she would have just said, I'm going to do everything, I'm going to hold on to him, I'm going to keep him, she would have lost him. She had been caught, Pharaoh's army would have come in, they'd have killed her, or maybe her family, and thrown him in the Nile and not in a basket. But she trusted God. And though we don't know if she ended her at the end of her life, she knew whether or not what Moses' destiny would be. Let me tell you something. Her life made it possible, I believe, for him to become the man of God he was. I believe those influences that she put in his life when she was young was with him and went along with him. And so when he saw something going wrong, though he may have handled it wrongly, he knew he needed to stand up for what was right. He knew when he saw something and heard the voice of God, who it was. How do I think he knew that? Because he knew what his mother had taught him when he was young. And you may not always see what's going to happen with your children, but you need to have faith. I've shared this story before, and I'm going to share it again today because I think it fits. My grandmother was concerned about one of her sons, Henry. If you all heard the story before, Henry was not a nice guy. My uncle Henry was challenging. Ask my mom. She could probably tell you stories that I probably don't even want to know about. But when she was dying, she said, what about Henry? He had cancer, so it was a question of who was going to die first. I said, Grandma, you've prayed for him, haven't you? Yeah. You know that God loves him more than actually you do. She paused a second. Yeah, I know that. She may have been like most women, or I think maybe some parents, who say, I know that in my head, but my heart says otherwise. Because nobody loves this kid more than me. I know God has to, but that's because the Bible says so, but I don't know about it for sure. But she said, yes, I know God loves him more. I said, and you've prayed, and God's going to hold those prayers. He's not going to throw them away and say, now that Martha's dead, I don't have to answer her prayers. He's going to work in his life, that God is going to touch him any way he can. And so she found peace, and she did pass away. And a month before he died, was just a few months later, he had a dream or a revelation or a vision. We're not sure what happened. But Grandma came into her room. His mom came in and said, Henry, you've not been good. You need to get right with God. And you need to pray right now. And in that dream or vision or whatever it was, he accepted Christ. She never saw it. But you know, a month later, she saw him in heaven. We don't always see the end, people. Mothers, you don't always see what's happening and you're not always pleased with what you see. But you've got to trust God. And you've got to trust that God can do something even in times you cannot see. And you may not see the end result, but you've got to trust that God's going to do everything he can to work in the life of your children. Your job is to do the best you can do to be that example as much as you can, when you can, in the life of your children. Again, thank you, godly mothers, for all you do. We know you're not perfect, but we appreciate you. And know that God loves your children even more than you do. And he's going to work in their lives, and he's going to do what you can
You just need to be faithful in all that you know to do. Dear Father, I ask now, on behalf of every mother here who's uncertain about the life of their child, who doesn't know if they're living right or doing right, or maybe, Lord, they know they're not. But Lord, right now, we put them into your hands and say, God, take care of our children. Take care of these mothers' hearts. Protect them, Lord, and let them feel that you are watching over their children and the ones they love so much, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's join together and sing. And now, Father, I ask you to watch your each one as they leave this place today. But, Lord, I ask you especially, bless the mothers and the mothers of heart as they go forth this day. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you, mothers.